It's good to see everyone this morning as we are celebrating Jesus Christ coming into the world in Christmas season. Our gospel reading this morning will be from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25, which is on your outline, so you can follow along as I read this. This is the New Living Translation. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Joseph named him Jesus. Amen. So may God teach us through his word today. My message is entitled, "Let Every Heart Prepare Him Room." So let's pray together, please. Father God, we thank you that this story of how Jesus was born was recorded in Scripture. Father, we marvel at the miracles that took place. I pray, Father, that you would release faith in our hearts this morning, and you would also expand our hearts to welcome Jesus as Lord into our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. I think it's safe to say that the birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. Can we say amen to that? Yeah, that's the first point. So I love Joseph. Joseph is engaged to Mary. He's an upright man. They're not having any sexual relationship. And Mary becomes pregnant. So what, of course, is Joseph thinking? She cheated on me. Who is she with? And so he has to be brokenhearted. Yet Scripture also says that he was upright and kind. So he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. He didn't want her to maybe be put to death for adultery or something like that. So he was just going to quietly dissolve the engagement. And when he considered that, an angel comes to him in a dream. How often does that happen? Not very often, okay? So an angel from heaven. People today do not often realize that this world is not all that there is. There's a spiritual world that's real. But because it's invisible to our physical eyes, many people don't believe in it. In that spiritual world, there's darkness and there's light. And, you know, we kind of get that in our spirits. How many movies are about darkness and light? Right? The dark side. Did anybody see the latest Star Wars movie yet? Okay, Harley, you went. Okay, did the dark side win or did... Don't tell us. I apologize. Wow, that's the best response I've gotten in church in a long time. That's the best. Wow. At least you're paying attention. That's really good. But Downton Abbey, okay, I know I spoiled that one time. But there's a dark side. There's light, there's God's kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus came to bring God's kingdom into our world. When we read the newspapers, how do we often feel about our world? It's dark. It's depressing. People being killed. Women being sexually assaulted. People in prominent places turn out to be dark people. That's very disappointing. And so God sees that, and he has a solution, which is his son, Jesus Christ, coming in to change people's hearts and lives. So Joseph has a dream. The angel says, Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, if most of us are engaged and someone's telling us, oh, your fiance is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, what's your reaction going to be? I don't think so. That's an excuse I haven't heard before. Okay, see, I want us to feel this. I want this is something that happened, and it's miraculous. Virgins do not conceive. When we see Joseph, he's a man of faith. Like, the angel speaks to him, and he responds. He does exactly what the angel told him to do. I admire that. So both of them are facing this sort of shame around the whole situation, that God's in it. Friends, do not ever be discouraged when obeying God might make you look bad in the eyes of others, because you're in good company. The angel told Joseph to give the baby a name. What name is that? Jesus. What does Jesus mean? God saves. Stephen shared that with us last week. His name, number two on your sheet, is also Emmanuel. That's Hebrew for God with us. So here's another miracle, that somehow God is coming into our world through a baby. That's amazing. It's another miracle. This is quite a story. So we sang at the beginning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let every heart prepare him room. My desire this morning is to encourage you to make room in your heart for Jesus. So what is our hearts? Number three, our hearts are our inmost thoughts, our feelings and emotions, what we love. What did we learn just a few minutes ago about the hearts of people at Abundant Grace Church? They love Star Wars. We learned that. Star Wars has a place in people's hearts. That's actually a great illustration for us. So, does Jesus have a place in our hearts? That's a big one. We can have a heart for music. We can have a heart. Some people like to read. Some people enjoy sports. People can work their way into your heart. Have you ever known someone that initially you did not really like them, but then as you got to know them, they kind of worked your way into their hearts? Or you just meet someone, you don't know someone, but as you get to know them, something good happens. There's a young girl named Serenity at the youth center. Isn't that a wonderful name? So she's about 7 years old. Whenever she comes in, I tease her. I say, oh, Serenity, I feel so peaceful now that you're here. Or there's an old John Denver song I'll sing. Serenity's a long time coming to me. So she's never heard the song, but she laughs. We had a Christmas party for the youth. And we went to the youth center. And we picked up a bunch of the kids. But Serenity and her two sisters weren't there. I was disappointed because I really thought they would come. We came over to the office. I get a phone call. It's her mom. I'm so sorry. We had a tragedy in the family. The girls really wanted to come to the party. Can someone come get them? And I said, oh, sure, I'll come get them. But inside, I'm a little put out, like, oh, why weren't they there on time? So I leave, drive over there. I get to their building. I call their mom and said, hey, I'm outside. Send the girls down. And they come down, and Serenity comes barreling out the door. She's got this huge smile on her face. They're all excited. They're like, hi, Dave. Can we go to the party? Well, it made me really happy, didn't it? Since she has a place in my heart now. Is there room in your heart for Jesus today? There's lots of reasons why you should make room for your heart in Jesus, and I'm only going to look at three of them. One is the matter of sin. Two is forgiveness. And three is reconciliation. The name Jesus means God saves. The angel said he will save his people from their sins, okay? So what is sin? Sin, number four, means literally missing the mark. How many of you have ever shot a bow and arrow, okay? How many of you hit a bullseye first try? Yeah, like almost nobody. It's really hard to hit a bullseye with a bow and arrow, and so you pull it back and you shoot, and it goes up, down, and away. That's missing the mark. That's like sin. So there's a way we should live, and what happens? We miss the mark. We live another way. So that's the nature of sin. Where did sin originate? The sin originated thousands of years ago. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in what's called original sin, disobeyed God. And when they did that, that brought darkness, death, and sin into our world. So that's why the world's the way it is. Lots of times people say, well, why does God allow this to happen? Well, God gave humans a free will to love him or not to love him, to choose what is good or to choose what's bad. And so when Adam and Eve chose to turn away from God, that is what brought darkness in. So God actually has a heart to change things. Amen. God actually wants to bring light into the darkness. He wants to bring good out of the bad. That's the message of Jesus. On your sheet, there's a passage from Mark chapter 7, and this describes the effects of original sin, or the fact that there's something in our heart already that's not good. Jesus went on and said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, what pollutes them, what makes them not good. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Wow, that's quite a list, isn't it? Jesus is covering all the bases. Let's just take a couple. Theft. How many of you have ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Raise your hands. Okay, get them up here high. We want to see. All right, yes, a lot. Okay. How many of you, deceit, how many of you have ever lied? Yes, I think we've all probably told a lie. And why did we tell a lie? Probably to cover ourselves. We did something. We don't want people to know about it, so we tell a little lie. So right now, I'm ministering to a room full of liars and thieves. It could get worse. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. Now, we can laugh because, yeah, we're all sinners. I mean, that's the point. Number five, all people have sinned, including, what's the next fill-in? Me, thank you. If you pointed to somebody else, you just sinned, okay? So stop that. Yeah, if you put Dave, you know, it's true, but that's not the right fill-in. Now, the word save means to make whole, to heal, to forgive, to reconcile people in, who are at odds with each other, or to reconcile us to God. So it's important we understand what these words mean. Jesus, according to the angel, came to save us from our sins. And the next point is this. Our sin ruins relationships, including our one with God. How many of you found that to be true? Yeah, how many of you have ever done something and that wrecked a relationship? Okay, so Tierra has been going to Alpha this fall. So we discussed this last week at Alpha. And so I said, "Say, Tierra, like you and I are friends." I said, "What would happen if I started gossiping about you and telling lies about you?" I said, "You know, how would that make you feel?" She goes, "Oh, that would make me feel badly." Yeah. Okay, so that would put a barrier in our relationship with each other. She wouldn't feel close to me anymore. She would not trust me anymore. Okay, that's what happens with sin. It ruins relationships. So the only way for us to be reconciled, so reconcile means to be brought together. You were at odds, and now you're back in good terms with each other. It's for me to humble myself. And I have to go to her and confess to her, "Tierra, I have been really wrong. I lied about you. I gossiped about you. Could you find it in your heart to forgive me? Because I've hurt you, and I don't want to be at odds with you." And when I shared that, Tierra said, "Yeah, I'd forgive you." That's how forgiveness and reconciliation works. Any relationship that's going to grow requires two people to know how to admit when they're wrong, ask forgiveness, and to extend forgiveness. It's essential. Can we say amen to that? Yeah. So did you get number 8? When we admit and confess our wrong, we can be forgiven and reconciled.
Lee, can you try turning the heat up there and see if it'll get warmer in here?
So that's God's goal. The next point, God loves to forgive. That's the message of the gospel. God's heart is to forgive people. So how many of us have ruined our relationship with God in a sense? All of us, right? Okay, so we've all done things that have put up a barrier between us and God. So we need that forgiveness and that reconciliation. Offenses between people are inevitable. You might say, "Oh, Dave, you and Ingrid have such a great relationship. You always seem to get along." No, I offend her. She hurts my feelings. I don't have as many feelings as she does, but the ones I have do get hurt. We offend each other. So if we have not learned to humble ourselves, I go, "Ingrid, I'm so sorry. I was wrong." That word that's hard for us to get out of our mouth. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Then we would have a lousy marriage if I didn't do that. So this is very important. Forgiveness brings reconciliation. Now, what about our forgiveness with God? Under Jewish law, God gave Moses, the leader of the Jews, the law. Under the law, sin was so serious that it required a blood sacrifice to bring forgiveness. When you read the Old Testament, if you've ever read through Leviticus or Deuteronomy, you're like, wow, they had to like kill oxen and lambs and goats, and there were sin offerings and burnt offerings. It's very regulated, very specific. This is what you have to do. If you don't do this, then you're not right with God. And Scripture says it's because of the life in the blood that makes atonement for sin, that takes away the sin. Life. Sin requires life in order to be removed. That's very sobering. Life is in the blood. Isaiah 53, verse 6 is also on the bottom of your sheet. And it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned where? To his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Is it safe to say that America as a society champions going your own way? That's what it's all about. I should be able to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. What happens when everybody has that attitude? Misery. That's what happens. Conflict, tensions, offense. If my goal in marriage is to get my way and Ingrid's goal is to get her way, what kind of marriage are we going to have? A lousy marriage. Because we're going to constantly be fighting over, I want it. No, I want it this way. And so that's one of the reasons there's a lot of problems in our society today. It sounds simplistic, but when everyone has this attitude, I should get to do whatever I want to do, it brings ruin, darkness, pain. God has a solution. Jesus said, learn to pray, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Wow, that's the exact opposite. And to people that says, oh, no, you can't live that way, you'll be unhappy. No, just the opposite. You're unhappy now because you think you should get your own way. It's amazing how peaceful things get when people stop wanting to get their own way in a family. Right? Parents, you know, when all the kids want their own way, oh, wow, it's miserable. So Jesus taught us a whole new way to live. Scripture says God did something to remove our sin through Jesus Christ. So I want to give an example. This is from our Alpha course. I got to put my mic back in the stand. What have we learned? Sin creates a barrier in relationships. It ruins relationships. So let's pretend my big Bible is sin. On this hand, we have all of us, human beings. On this hand over here, my left hand is Jesus. Over here, there's sin. Okay, that creates a barrier between us and God. Over here, we have Jesus. How much sin did Jesus have? None. Amazingly, Jesus lived a life without sinning. And God says, well, he's become the perfect sacrifice for all the sins of all the people in the world. And so God took the sin which was on us and he nailed it to Jesus on the cross. Wow. So what did that do? Now we're free. The barrier between us and God has been removed. In fact, God is saying, come to me. I want to forgive you. I want to have a relationship with you. That's why I sent my son into the world. And here Jesus was crying out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the beauty of the gospel. What I deserved, Jesus got. What I don't deserve, God gives me because of Christ. It's called grace. It's powerful. It will change your life, can change the world, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I have a story about how powerful forgiveness and grace is. So did you get number 10? Sin should be punished, but God placed all of our sin upon Jesus on the cross. So here's the next point. Forgiveness is powerful. Some of you have heard this story, but some of you haven't. Before World War II and during World War II, the Nazis in Germany were systematically killing the Jewish people. There was a family in Holland, the Ten Boon family, and they made a secret room up on the third floor of their house, which became known as the hiding place, which is a book that describes their work, and they hid Jewish people. and they helped dozens of Jewish people escape death. Eventually, the Germans discovered what they were doing and arrested all of them. The father and son went to one concentration camp. The hero of the story, Corrie ten Boom, and her sister Betsy were sent to another concentration camp, Ravensbrück, for women. While they were there, they suffered. They had to work all day. They didn't have enough food. Betsy got very ill. But Betsy was a real spiritual leader, and so she had a Bible study at night with the women in their barracks. And her main message over and over as they studied the Bible was, forgive, forgive, forgive. Don't hate. If you hate, you'll be brought down to the same level as the Nazis. God calls us to forgive. Well, Betsy died right before Corey's eyes. Then, miraculously, Corrie was freed from the camp. She, to this day, doesn't know what happened. There was some error that said this woman should be set free. She was freed because God had a ministry for her. So after the war, how did most people feel about Germany? They hated Germans. Well, that's not going to make for a good rebuilding of Europe. So Corrie went speaking in churches in various places, and she had the message, forgive. She came to a church in Germany, and she gave her message, talked about learning to forgive the Germans, the guards at the concentration camp, and after the service, a man starts walking towards her, and all of a sudden she recognized him. She was the first guard she met at the concentration camp. And she said her blood ran cold. And the man came up to her and said, Fraulein, it's so good to hear your message of forgiveness. I was a guard at Ravensbrück. I'm ashamed and horrified at all the evil things I did, but I've become a Christian. I believe God has forgiven me, but I need to ask your forgiveness. Could you please forgive me for all that I did? Corrie said her heart was like stone. And inside she's like, God, I can't forgive this man. I watched Betsy die. Can he be freed from that just for a few words? At the same time, she remembered the words of Jesus. Unless you forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And she said, she prayed. She said, God, Father, I know you want me to forgive. You'll have to help me. Please give me forgiveness. And she said she mechanically stuck out her hand to meet his hand. And when their hands met and were clasped, she said a miracle happened. This warmth sprang up in her heart, ran down through her arm into the man's hand, and she started weeping, and she shook his hand and said, yes, I do forgive you. Brother, I forgive you. They were reconciled. It's the power of forgiveness in living by grace. Can we say amen to that? Hallelujah. The last point is, you have every reason to invite Jesus into your heart and life. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Ed, can we get the worship team up for a final song, please? You have every reason. Every reason in the world. So as the worship team comes up, let me tell you briefly my story. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church. And when I was 14, I heard a man preach saying, your life is like your home. So if someone comes to your house and they knock at the door, what can you do? You can open the door. You can say, come on in. Or you can say, sorry, you know, I'm not interested, and shut the door. The preacher said, most people only let God into a little bit of their life. So they open up, say, it's like inviting someone in. They come to the living room. You talk together. Maybe you share a meal in the dining room, and they go home. He said, that's what we do with God. We let God into a little bit of our life. We'll say, God, I'll try and be a good person. God, I'll like be nice to people. God, maybe I'll go to church every week. But God doesn't really have our hearts. And so God wants your heart this morning. He wants you to invite him in because God never forces himself into anyone's life. And I'll never forget, the preacher was very engaging, and he said, Jesus Christ even wants to be in your kitchen closet. And that made me chuckle. Like, there's every part of your life. And I thought to myself, well, God, being God, knows everything about me. Is there anything I can hide from God? No. So it made sense to me to go forward and say, yes, Jesus, come into every room of my life. I want you to do that. And as I did that, my life began to change. It wasn't a radical change at first because I was kind of a good person. I went to church. I tried not to sin. But I had a relationship with God that I never had before. It's wonderful. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me. Somehow I became a preacher. So now I like telling people, Jesus loves you. Jesus came to save you from your sin. Jesus wants to reconcile you to himself and to his heavenly Father. So if you guys could just play a song for a minute, I want you to take a minute to pray. You can talk to God on your own. If you're not sure if this is true or not for you, ask him. Say, God, if this is true, if what Dave is saying is true, show it to me. Put it on my heart. If you realize you need to confess something to God, there's a sin, confess it. He wants to forgive you. That's why Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Just take a minute to talk to God on your own, and then I'll close us in prayer. God's word says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has caused the sin of us all to fall on him. If you want to receive God's forgiveness for the first time, or you want to invite Jesus into your life for the first time, we're going to sing a song. I encourage you to just stand up right now. If you were a Christian and you feel like I've been, you know, kind of far from God, I need to open my heart to him again, then stand up right now. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to come into your life in a new way and release his grace and peace and love. So if that's on your heart, go ahead and stand up. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing this song and rejoice together. So, Father, I just thank you for those who are standing here. Jesus, come into our lives in a deeper way. Capture our hearts. Make us more excited about you than Star Wars or money or anything else. Jesus, have first place in our lives, we pray today. And, Father, I just pray the joy of being close to you would touch the hearts of our friends who are standing. The peace that passes understanding, the love of God poured into their hearts in a fresh way. Lord, we are so grateful that you welcome us to yourself. Can we all say amen? Amen. So let's stand up and let's sing Joy to the World.